వాసుదేవ కథ ప్రశ్న. పురుషం స్వయం పునాతి వక్తారం ప్రచకం శ్రోతిం తత్పాద శరీరం యత. మమ జ్ఞానం మిదాంధస్య జగనందన శ్లాఖయ సక్షుమ్నితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్య మనోవిష్టం స్థాపితైన భూతలే స్వయం రూపాకరమయం దదాతి స్వప్రాంతికం. శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవసతి గౌడ భక్తివింద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 రామ. ఇఫ్ యూ జస్ట్ డూ వన్ లిటిల్ థింగ్, వన్ సెకండ్, ఐ విల్ మిస్ యూ. సో దిస్ ఇస్ అ వర్స్. The Ganges emanating from the toe of Lord Vishnu purifies the three worlds, the upper, middle and lower planetary systems. Similarly, when one asks questions about the pastimes and characteristics of Lord Vasudeva, Krishna, three varieties of men are purified: the speaker, the preacher, or he inquires, and the people who listen in generally. Purport. It is said, Tasmat Gurum Prapadyeta Jigyasu Shreya Uttamam. Those interested in understanding transcendental subject matters as a goal of life must approach a bona fide spiritual master. Tasmat gurum prapadyeta. One must surrender to such a guru who can give right information about Krishna. Herein, Maharaj Parikshit has surrendered to the right personality, Sukadeva Goswami, for enlightenment is Vasudeva Katha. Vasudeva is the original personality of Godhead and has unlimited spiritual activities. Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the is a record of such activity, and Bhagavad Gita is a record of Vasudeva speaking personally. Therefore, since the Krishna conscious movement is full of Vasudeva Katha, anyone who hears, anyone who joins the movement, or anybody who preaches will be purified. Hare Krishna. So, we prayed already, Om Agyanti Mirandasya. It is a very interesting purport, because Prabhupada says, first let me talk about the translation. There's a verse that the Ganga emanating from the toe of Vishnu purifies the three worlds. That's the first section. And I would like to read to you that, that there is a text where Ganga Devi is speaking to Lord Krishna just before he's leaving. Oh, he's, yes, okay. That Krishna is speaking to Ganga Devi just before leaving for the spiritual world. And she says, my dear Lord, you're leaving. What is going to happen to me? People will just come and deposit their sins in me. And he said, relax. He said, don't worry. Because, and then he speaks, it's from Brahmavavata Purana. He tells you, you don't worry, that there will be three items. There will be chanting all over the world. The next item is Bhagavatam will be read all over the world. And it's, you see this in Bhagavatam. This Bhagavatam will cause a revolution in the consciousness of men. Very clear. Harinam, Harinam, Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Sivana, Siva. This is Krishna's will. There's nothing in the world we can do it to stop it. Nothing. If we don't do it, somebody else will do it. Like you see in Prabhupada's life, there was a problem with his godbrother. I give you an example. When one of my friends, Jai Sachi, he went to the Yogapit temple in Mayapur, because he read, I think in Sasvarupa Maharaj's Lilamrita or somewhere, that there was in the back of the temple a huge window of the Kirtan hall. But okay, you have to remind me. You just go like this. There was a big window, and behind this window there was a printing press. So the deities could see the printing, and therefore the printing would go on, because he was standing right in front of Krishna. How can you not? So they decided. This boy was inquiring. He said, well, we thought. His Prabhupada said, don't do that. you know, speculation, you know. And we thought that it is better we use that room for preaching, and we put the printing press in the basement. And so he said, this was a good idea, looks like it, but it's not what Bhaktisiddhanta wanted. You had your own ideas. Like Prabhupada, when he was lying here, I happened to be there, when he said somebody gave him medicine, and I don't mention the name, and he was his servant, and Prabhupada asked him, did you close the bottle? No, Prabhupada, I forgot. He said, that is your disease. He said, all of you. You know how to open bottles, you don't know how to close them. You start so many new things, and you don't see the consequences. And we experience this in ISKCON. So many new things, you don't see the consequences that this has in the long run. You know how to live, but you don't know how to die. And so I have to show you. And Yadubar was called to actually film Prabhupada's death, you know, because we don't know how to die. So so in the Shastra, we have to go by Shastra. We shouldn't trust our mind. You know, the mind is always flickering. Sometimes this, sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down. There's a song in the black Christian community. Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down. Oh yes, Lord. Sometimes I'm really on the ground. Oh yes, Lord. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. So he's on the middle platform. Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down. Sometimes I'm really on the ground. He's describing accurately the function of the mind, right? So let us take from Shastra, from this Purana. What was it? Brahma Vavata Purana. This is called old age. It's a forgetfulness. You see, actually, let me just go out a little bit. If somebody has a depression, you try to save him with pills. But on a deeper platform, this is external, the depression. On the deeper platform of the soul is grieving because he's separated from Krishna. So the separation of Krishna translates in our mind as this and that, like a depression, you know. Similarly, forgetfulness. When you get old, forgetfulness comes from Krishna. You know, it appears that it's a disease, but actually it comes from Krishna. In the same way, cancer. It comes from Krishna. Prabhupada says, Krishna appears in the form of distress to purify his devotee. So Daksha, he had the head of a goat, and he could speak Shastra, because it's not the brain, you know. It's Krishna. From me alone comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. Very important to understand. So why there is forgetfulness in old people? Because Krishna is warning them, your time is running out. You know, please, shape up, ship out. This is a message. But people don't hear that. So then Krishna takes more and more memory away. This is how that actually works. On the internal platform is our disturbed relationship with Krishna. On the external platform, it manifests itself in forgetfulness. And so in that Shastra, Brahma Vavata Purana, there he explains first three things. First chanting, then Bhagavatam. The third item is what? Huh? Prasadam. He said there will be widespread prasadam, because the devotees of the Lord become free from all sins because they offer food offered in sacrifice. So it is necessary. It's all prasad power. Prasadam is very important. You know, I ate just one, simply wonderful, when I was visiting Paris. 3 months later, no, just 3 days later, I was a devotee in Hamburg Temple. You know, just that's the beginning of my life, you know. And I wanted to leave. I was on a mental trip. I mean, young devotees on a mental trip. And my mother, she sent me a Bible. It was a Christian. And so one devotee from American devotee, he was a Vietnam veteran, and he came from Vietnam to our temple because the biggest airport for the Americans army is in Germany, Ramstadt. So he came from there, he joined. So he saw me, I was reading the Bible. And he said, "Who gave you this Bible?" I said, "My mother." "You demon mother sent you a Bible." And he took the Bible and threw it into the trash can. It's very offensive. It's still a holy scripture. Threw it into the trash can. So at night, I was so worried, you know, am I in the right place, coming from a Christian background? And I walked down, and when I walked down, there was Himavati calling from upstairs, "Peter, Bhakta Peter, where are you going?" I said, "Mataji, I have to sort out my brain. And something happened. And I want to see Swami Omkarananda." He was a Mayavadi sitting very popular, he was sitting in Zurich, winter tour. And she said, "But tomorrow is a feast. What would you like to eat?" I said, "Halwa. I make you any amount of halwa you want. Some is raisin, some is asing. Stay." I said, "Well, it makes sense." So I stayed. After 4 weeks, again there was some relapse that I thought I have to leave, you know. And again she called me. And she said, "Bhakta Peter, you're leaving again. Where do you go? It's my luggage." I said, "You know, such and such things happened. I don't know what it was." She said, "But tomorrow is Sunday. What would you like to eat?" I said, "Samosas." She said, "I make you a whole bag of samosas." You know? And this is the beginning of my spiritual life. I came to the temple in Fontaine-aux-Roses first, in Paris. There was this woman there. "Oh, but Peter, you take a little bit of this. This is very, very tasty. And I cooked this for you." "Who's that?" "Mother Kini." And, you know, I became a devotee by Prasadam. So very, very important, Prasadam. Now, Krishna is giving actually the recipe. He gives the recipe. And he didn't just say it, because action speaks louder than words. So he came as Lord Chaitanya and inaugurated exactly that. The Harinam movement. Kirtan, Prasadam, everything. They ate Prasadam to their full, to their brim. Sometimes I've seen in Vrindavan, in Maya, in Radhakunda, I was invited to Prasadam for some babas. I went. And I saw that normally these people eat very little. It was a feast day. They eat plates like this. And then in the end, they just rolled over and fell asleep. It was wonderful, you know. So natural. I saw Prabhupada doing this. One time he came to Paris and to the farm, New Mayapur. And he was very tired, extremely tired, because he came from New York in the morning. And so the Vyasa San was huge, like an aircraft carrier. And he sat in one corner, you know, like this. And gradually he went like this. And then he stretched his feet out on the Vyasa San and put his head there. And then he fell asleep. So all of us, "Prabhupada, sleepy, don't wake him up." So then, after 5 minutes. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he continued the lecture exactly where he stopped, you know. So then, interesting, in this lecture, he asked for a question. Somebody said, "Yes, Srila Prabhupada, you said sometimes in Los Angeles." "What did I say?" "Such and such thing." Prabhupada said, "There are many." Prabhupada said this. It was funny to see this in his own mouth, coming out of his own. "There are many." Prabhupada said this and Prabhupada said that, but Prabhupada never said that. And it was very interesting, you know. Because, I mean, even in the beginning, some people made up stories. You know, the whole Christian tradition is made up, basically speaking. Some, I can go into the depths, I don't want to do it, I can show exactly where the meat-eating part is, you know, how it is covered by excuses, you know. And so the tendency of devotees is to manipulate. And it says in the Old Testament, O Lord, the scribes, you know, the scribes who translate, have turned your words into a lie. Exactly, have turned your words into a lie, you know. And there's another one that I don't recall right now. Oh, go out of my vision, your hands go far away from me, because I will not see you, because your heart is far away from me. Very important, the heart. You should love God with all your heart. It's far away from me. Teaching as religion the precepts of men. There you have it. You know, teaching as a religion something that has been concocted. It's right in the Old Testament. They had this problem. And it says there's nothing new under the sun. There's a famous verse in the Ecclesiastes. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. So Lord Chaitanya came, he inaugurated, and he spread. And Haridas Thakur, was it Haridas Thakur and Nityananda? They went door to door. They went door to door. And Shyamananda, Prabhupada liked very much the Shyamananda temple. The deities are called accordingly here. That because Radharani gave Shyamananda Prabhu a deity of Krishna. And you can see it. If you go into the temple, there's a temple, the deities, and there's a little side altar. That is a self-manifested deity. It's coming from the spiritual world. And so, Prabhupada, there was one doctor. I don't think he's still alive. His name is Narottam Gupta. He was Prabhupada's Ayurvedic doctor. And he told me that when I would go to the trunk road, to the Delhi-Agra trunk road, to take a catch a bus to Delhi, I had to take the Tonga horse car. He said, when I passed this property, I saw Swamiji sitting under a tree. And he was chanting Hare Krishna completely by himself. Tree's right there, he said, you know. So it's amazing what happened between Prabhupada and Krishna. And so nobody knows what happens there. And I do know, Prabhupada doesn't lie to us, that Krishna was dictating him. He was dictating him. And therefore we cannot change it. I give an example. One sannyasi, I will not name his name, although it is glorious. I have to ask him for permission if I can speak openly about it. He wrote me recently. He said, one time I wrote him, I said, Maharaj, is that true? I heard a rumor. He said, yes, it's true. Then one time I was reading for hours on end, Krishna book. All of a sudden Prabhupada's voice came in. And Prabhupada read for me 3 pages and then he disappeared. And I personally, it comes to me now, I didn't plan to speak like that, about that. When Prabhupada was put into Samadhi, I had to keep the crowds back because in hell the Germans are the mechanics. In hell the Germans are the policemen. In heaven they are the mechanics, you know. So I had to keep the people back, you know. And I saw that Prabhupada was there, the sword rose higher and higher, and when it was here, they took a bamboo rod and put it on Prabhupada's head and put earth, 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 and then in the end, it was even with the rest of the ground. They made a little mound around this stick and pulled the stick out to know where Prabhupada is, not that he's there and we were worshipping here, you know. So I had a dream. Sometimes I wonder whether I should say it, but I will. That in that night, following night, I looked down, I saw when they pulled the stick out that there was a little hole which fell in, right? Sand. Then the hole opened. It was like a chimney. And I looked down and I saw Srila Prabhupada's murti. And now, listen carefully, Srila Prabhupada came in a very effulgent form. It was not an ordinary dream, very effulgent, you know. I said, oh, Srila Prabhupada. And you know what he told me? He said, they think that I'm dead. And then he disappeared. So he reasons ill of things that Vaishnava dies while he's living still and sound. We have to be very careful in not trying to mess with Srila Prabhupada's books. Because the scientists told us, we had a convention, they told us, we are not interested in any kind of addition. We are interested what the man actually said. Never mind, there may be mistakes, there may be grammatical, we don't care. We are only interested in his message, the authentic message, you know. And so, if you see the Bible there in the 18th edition now, revised edition, and so many things fall through the cracks, you never see them again, right? And so we have to be true to Prabhupada. It's very important, and even the GBC now goes into this direction, that we are not entitled to change Prabhupada's books, actually. There are some faults, no doubt. There is, Prabhupada talks about the planet of the Pitris, of the forefathers. And it is translated in Bhagavad Gita, the planet of the trees. You know, that's obviously, it's not Prabhupada, it has to be corrected. It's a translator, transcriber. Transcriber, it's the transcriber's opinion, you know. So they have to be sorted out, no doubt about it. But actually, otherwise, you should stick to the letter. It's my personal conviction. You may do whatever you like. I'm not telling you you have to do it, but that's my understanding, you know. Because when Prabhupada came to Paris, he came to to London. We were all doing book distribution. Big time. We were actually the top book distributors at that time. So he wanted to talk to us and asked us to come to the manor. So before we even could take shower, he said, I want to see them right now, because Prabhupada was up early in the morning. And he asked, he looked at me, he said, what is the most important verse? I said, Srila Prabhupada, it's Yadadekataka Krishna Upadesh, because I was just reading Chaitanya Charitamrita with my friend Haraka. See, that's true. He said, that is the most important verse. Wherever you go, you preach. And then he asked me, what does it mean, Krishna Upadesh? I said, well, I started speculating. Desh, Srila Prabhupada, means place. Maybe so. He said, but that's not what Krishna says. Upadesh, Upadesh Amrita is the Amrita of the highest instruction of Krishna, the Upadesh, you know. And then he became very grave. And he said, not only that you distribute my books, you must read my books. That was the end of the conversation. Very important point that Prabhupada raised, you know. And I must admit, I failed on that principle quite a bit, you know, because my nature is more, I'm a preacher and a city preacher, really. I'm not a philosopher. I'm a city preacher. And I'm very effectful in this. I was when I was young. Now, you know, I don't have the stamina anymore. And so Prabhupada told us this. And there was another incident that Srila Prabhupada, he was in Paris, and one devotee, he complained, one householder, because I had to throw him out of the temple. He was living in the backyard, and he was doing no service whatsoever, you know, not any kind of service, not preaching, not doing on the internet, nothing, you know. He would come with his wife and his two kids with their tiffins, and they loaded the tiffins up to the top. And then they ate a big plate, and then they left before the lecture. You know, lecture was always after, you know. So they left. And I told him, Prabhu, this doesn't work. You have to do something for Prabhupada. Whatever it is, like myself, I'm not going to be involved in many of the daily affairs, but I'm writing. Sometimes, the other night, I wrote from 4 in the morning to 2 o'clock at night. It's 20 hours in one stretch. I was out of my wits, you know, I was finished. You know, I couldn't sleep the rest of the night, obviously, you know. I was so wired up. So this devotee came to Prabhupada and said, complained. Because I told the devotee, I give you a 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, shape up or shape out. And he wouldn't do it. He said, I don't care what you say, you know. I was a temple president. He said, well, you know, then I have no choice to remove you. So he went right to Prabhupada and complained about me. And Prabhupada said, so what is your service? He said, well, I didn't have a service. Well, what did you do for me? How many books did you distribute? I was doing that. How many devotees did you make? I was doing that. How many temples did you open? I was doing that. And so there was another item. How many books did you distribute? Forgot. Another item. How many temples did you open? And then Prabhupada said, I side with Prithu Das. You know, because he knew enough that I was preaching, that I was making devotees, that I was opening temples, etc. He said, I side with Prithu Das. You know, it was very, because you see, Prabhupada, he gave us the recipe. He was a supreme strategist. You know, he had the supreme strategy. His strategical planning was perfect. And what was that? And now, going back to the Gaudiya Math, just remind me of this story that was just telling, you know, Gaudiya Math. So he told him what happened to the press. Well, we thought we should put it in the basement. He said, well, where that is now? He said, it's not printing since 30 years. You see, you know how to open a bottle, you don't know how to close them. You don't see the consequences it has. And the whole preaching fell down. When I came to Mayapur, there was many women, there were one sannyasi, two brahmacharis, that's all. And the rest, a huge amount of women. You know, I've only seen that they are now Western devotees because after Prabhupada, you know, they took, they were not supposed to. And so, you see how that works. That Prabhupada actually, he followed Bhaktisiddhanta. And he learned from Bhaktivedanta that books are the basics and purity is a force. You know, purity is a force. And utility is a principle. And preaching is the essence. That's right, the formula. You can see now, yesterday, it was in Dandavats. And I wrote a letter to Giriraj Swami. You know, when it comes to certain issues, I go to Giriraj Swami. When it goes to management, I ask one friend of mine, Patita Pavana, he's expert. When it goes for dealing with government, I talk to Patita Pavana. You know, he's the expert. Or Bhakta Chris is the other one. And so you can learn from everybody something. I mean, just see the life of Jaipataka Swami. Preaching. And he takes care of the devotees. You know, because Prabhupada said in this article, and this is now the article, which is in Dandavat, that Prabhupada, he came to Germany and I was supposed to manage the event. And I had a magnetic board with all the names on it. So all of a sudden, it was in my office, I felt somebody was in my back, it was Prabhupada. And he said in a very deep voice, what is that? And I said, Srila Prabhupada, I fell on the ground, paid my obeisance. He said, what is that? I said, Srila Prabhupada, with one look I see every devotee. Every devotee. He is this devotee. He is a deity department. He is a kitchen department. He is a sankirtan. He is a harinam. He said, with one look I see everything. And he said, how do you do it? I said, you see, he takes his name from here to there. And I showed him. Because he said, how does that work? I said, it's magnetic. So Prabhupada says, can I try that? You know, I said, yes, Prabhupada. He said, all right, let's take this devotee from here to there, this Brahmacharini from there to there. He had about six people. He messed up my whole board, actually. And then all of a sudden, he turned to me. And I was working here. He turned to me very seriously and said, this will fail unless there's love and trust. Then this will fail, you know? Because that's the most important ingredient. I give an example, one of the most thriving yatras where love and trust is practiced is actually Ukraine. You know, nobody has to pay anything. It's all free. But it's based on love and trust. So if somebody, you go to a guy and you buy some dhotis, it's understood, it's love and trust that you will ask him how much would it be. He said, 1,500. Okay, I give you that. And so the whole festival, the fabric of it, is based on love and trust. That's the only place where I've seen it really in action. Not just words, but really in action. That you can actually shop all day without paying. But then people will not trust you in future, you know? So everything has to be love and trust. That's the ingredient. And books are the basics, you know? I mean, this is a formula. I remember one time, after my book distribution, I met one, or in my book distribution time, I met one proper disciple. I won't say the name. And I talked with him about book distribution. And he told me, books, Srila Prabhupada's books, I can't hear it anymore. You know, come on, baby, light my fire. You know, that's essential. And I tell you, the temples where there's book distribution, they do really well. In America, who's the top book distributor? Los Angeles. They have no problem with money, they have no problem with devotees. Many brahmacharis there. My son actually takes the Harinam party out every single day. He's the Harinam leader, you know. And he sings. He's tremendous. His kid also. He brings his kid. The kid sings. And so, wherever Mayapur is doing more books distribution than anybody, isn't it? And as you see, it's thriving, you know. And so many places, wherever there's book distribution, because preaching is the essence. That is the formula. Preaching is the essence. Books are the basics. The power is purity. Purity is the force. So if you don't think that you can find a material formula. Krishna consciousness is not a matter of a material formula. Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita that just fix your mind upon me. What is the verse? Tetanas ava kamani. No. What's that verse? Machita sava durgani. You direct your consciousness towards me. And then what happens is, then you will cross over all difficulties of material life by my grace. So we cannot preach, but by the grace of Krishna we can preach. Arjuna, by the grace of Krishna, he could kill so many people, millions. And later, when Krishna left, he had no strength anymore, because it was in the presence of Krishna that he could do these things. Without Krishna, he said, he was arrested by some coward boys. He said, I'm the same Arjuna, I'm the same Gandiva, right? And I have no power. So if you want to have power in spiritual life, you have to listen to Prabhupada, because Prabhupada had that power. Nobody has done what Prabhupada did. And so that brings me back to the Vishvapurana story, because Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya. And Nityananda Prabhu, he said, one day my Sena will come and he will distribute Krishna consciousness all over the world. The Russian devotees, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Russian devotees, German devotees, American devotees, joined in Kirtan in the beginning of the century, unthinkable in British time, you know. He said it. So nobody can ultimately destroy the movement. If you can be sidelined, like you can see the disciples of, Advaita Acharya, there's a whole section. Some people followed, some people didn't follow. And they were spending their times in argument with Ananda and with each other. And then the purport is that one who does not follow the spiritual master, he becomes asara, useless. And it goes on and on, and it describes, you know, how in the beginning the straw is mixed with the paddy, I think, right? But then in due course of time the wind comes, and here is the paddy, and there is what can be eaten, and there is the rest of it, you know? And Prabhupada used to say, if you don't preach, you will dry up. He said, many of our people, they preached, but they gave up preaching. And so they dry up, no doubt about it. And Prabhupada didn't dry up. He was conscious up to the last moment. The last thing I said, I heard it with my own ears, that he lifted up his hand. It was very peaceful. I mean, I'm trembling actually, but his hand was very peaceful. And he said, everything moving and non-moving There's nothing but Krishna. This consciousness is called Krishna consciousness. That was the last thing. Very last thing, he said, Hare Krishna. He left. So you see where Prabhupada's mind was at the time of death. Wherever the mind is at the time of death, there you go. He was with Krishna. He was preaching Krishna consciousness. You know? And there are so many examples how Prabhupada lived. Love and trust. I actually stepped on Srila Prabhupada's foot. Heel. On that road which is next to the ashram where I'm staying. It used to be a sandy road, that big road, you know, from the Goshala all the way to the Krishna Balaramji. It used to be a sandy road, and we used to walk there. So I stepped on Prabhupada's heel, and he turned around and took his key, his stick, and pointed on my breast and pushed me a little bit. I said, so? What do you have to say? I said, well, Srila Prabhupada, I'm so sorry. You know, I cried. He said, no, that's all right. Because he's a Mahabharata. Whatever happens is because of Krishna. You know, he doesn't bear a grudge because he knows that Lord can appear in distress. So he has plenty of distress in his life. He had plenty of tragedy in his life because it's Krishna, you know. He said, that's all right. He did not take offense. And the proof is, he asked me right then, he said, when you're leaving? I said, tomorrow morning. You can't do that. He said, stay at least 3 weeks, change your ticket. Just enjoy the spiritual atmosphere. So he was the proof, and I was sitting there and listened to Prabhupada. It was Krishna's mercy, really, that I could stay, because when I asked him one time, that Srila Prabhupada, I'm translating a verse, that one who chants the holy name of Krishna, he has been visiting all places of pilgrimage and based in all the holy rivers. Now this is not, this is directed to the citizens of Bharatvarsha, this verse. There was no idea of foreigners, you know. So he talked about these people in India. If you chant, you know, that's what it is. So I said, Srila Prabhupada, doesn't mean I was in India, I was a bubbling young devotee, doesn't mean India. And Prabhupada laughed for one moment, chuckled, you know. And he said, you know, it may be true. He said, I don't want to disappoint you. But you should understand that I created your good fortune. I heard it directly from Prabhupada, you know, that I created your good fortune. And I saw this later in my life when I came from Sankirtan. All of a sudden, somebody came down where we are packing, and he said, you know, don't go on Sankirtan this week. Immediately you have to go to India. We bought a ticket for you. Tomorrow morning you're on the plane. And so I arrived here by 4 o'clock in the afternoon. As soon as I stepped into the room, Prabhupada said, because Prabhupada was aware, he said, somebody should sing. So Tamal said, anybody can sing? He said, well, I can sing. Can you play harmonium? Yes, I can play harmonium. So I played and sang for 2 hours. So as soon as I was finished, Prabhupada turned to Tamal Krishna Goswami, and Maharaj came to me again. He said, he wants you tomorrow again. And so you may not like the way how I play the harmonium, because it's chord, but Prabhupada, he listened to it every single day for 6 hours. I'm approved by Prabhupada. 6 hours every day, he never got tired of my melodies. It's a big yard. I couldn't do it nowadays. 6 hours from 2 o'clock in the morning to 8, every single day up to the last day. In the morning I sang, in the evening he left. You know, so there is, I create your good fortune. He knew that I was so unfortunate, that I was such the lowest of men, in my opinion. So he understood that, let me give him some mercy. Hari Soi told me there were so many times, or Tamal Krishna Goswami, there was one devotee in Bombay, or Giriraj Maharaj told me, that, and Tigerji, he thought he was a waster. You know, he was not very active. He did something. And then Tamal went to Prabhupada and complained, Srila Prabhupada, there's this devotee. He doesn't amount to anything. You know, he doesn't amount to anything. And Prabhupada said, I know that. But that's all right. Because as long as he's here, he sees the deities, he sees me, he reads our books. So he was interested in the mercy part. That was Prabhupada's interest. more than anything else. And so in the same way, I came to the understanding that there's nothing to be puffed up about singing for Prabhupada 6 hours for 3 weeks. It's 127 hours. It's not about that. It's that Prabhupada was kind to me. That's what it is. You know, that he gave me the facility. He knew that I was very foreign. You know, he knew that. And so he gave me this facility. And he suffered, you know, Prabhupada was lying in Radha Damodar. He had no money. He was lying on the floor, on a straw mat, you know. And two of his godbrothers came and said, you have to get a bed, otherwise you die. And he said, I will not have a bed. I want to use every penny, every rupee for Krishna, for book distribution. That's why he could survive. The material energy succumbed to his piety. He didn't die. And Prabhupada's whole life was like this. He depended on Krishna. If we want to do something, we have to... There's a letter to Satsarumaj in Boston, very important letter. And they had ran out of money. He was the temple president back then in 1968 or something. So they decorated. You know, excuse me, I cannot drink out of this. I cannot drink out of this cup without messing myself up. So I have to touch it. I have a different cup, you know, that goes this way, you know. So please look away for a moment. Okay. What I was talking about. What's my name? What was it? Huh? Yeah, and I saw that, you know, that Prabhupada, he was just creating mercy for all of us. We are not here, Satsabhumara's letter. So they decorated the temple, they had no money, they took all the money they have and decorated the deities. They spent $1,000. And Prabhupada saw the picture, he said, how did you finance that? And he said, well, Srila Prabhupada, we are running out of money. And so we thought that we should use the money to worship Krishna. Now we are Krishna's and he can do with that whatever he likes. And then Prabhupada said, the idea to depend on Krishna is very nice, but you have to work and then Krishna will help you. This is very subtle, you know. You have to work and then Krishna will help you. Like Satchinandan Swami says, we have to do our best, Krishna does the rest. This is how that actually works, you know. As he surrenders unto me, I reward him. This is how that works. It's actually Krishna in the ultimate issue that I'm sitting here. It's only by Krishna's grace this is possible. Because in my life I went through a lot of tragedies. There was one instance, I'll tell you a story, which is very, very telling. There was a boy that joined from the Protestant church. Very rare, normally Catholics join. And then he left, and then he came back, and then he left. So one time, the priest in Dublin, the Catholic priest, the anti-sect expert, who was always giving us a bad name in the media, so he called Father Martin Tierney, and he said, you have to come, there is an uncle of this James, this devotee, he's there. And James is also there. I said, I'm not going to come. He said, you must come. I said, why? You can't avoid him. I said, you will regret it. He's a dangerous man. So I went there, and he said, I don't want to talk. It was a guy like a bull, head like a bull, you know, like horns almost, you know. And he said, I don't want to argue about your religion. You have your, whatever you believe in. I don't know if it's a religion, but I have mine. What I want to tell you is, you have an influence over James. You tell him that he should go to his mother and never come back to the temple. I said, James, how old are you? He said, I'm 26. I said, come on, he's not a child. Krishna doesn't interfere in the decisions of mature people. You decide. And so if you decide towards Krishna, that's Krishna's mercy already, you know. So I said, hey, I can't do it. I said, that would be unethical. And he said, you know, you tell him. I said, I won't. It's against my understanding. So I'm not telling these stories to blow my horn. It's just this is how I know it. And so then he said, all right, I count up to three. And if you don't say it, buddy, you're in trouble. One, two, three. And I said, this verse came into my mind. What is it? When Krishna wants to kill you, no one can save you. It came into my mind. And so I said to him, actually, you don't have the power to kill me. He said, what? And the priest told me later, he's a general of the Persian underground army. He has 60,000 people under him with arms, armed to the teeth, bombs, hand grenades, whatever you want, rifles, you know. So he said, I count up to three. I said, I decline. So he ran out of the room. And the priest said, you know, you made a huge mistake. You should run for your life. And he told me that this man is very powerful. He said, how can you do it? And this verse came into my mind. I said to the priest, actually, he has no control over me. You know, if Krishna wants, then I will die tomorrow, either in his hands, or I will have a car accident, or I will have a heart attack. You know, if my time is up, my time is up. And so I left. 2 hours later, the priest was on the phone. He said, oh my God, Preetu, did you hear the news? I said, no. The guy went to his car, he turned the key and a bomb put him away. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So I'm telling you this story because just like in this incident with Srila Prabhupada, singing for him, I realized that there was nothing big about me. I needed it. I needed that mercy. So in the same way, this man, his life was finished. Krishna wanted to finish his time. And I was just an instrument of his karma. It was not about me. It was about this guy. Because he perished within 2 hours. He was dead. You know, I mean, think about it. How powerful. When we are in trouble, Krishna comes. You know, he helps us. Kauntiya Prajani. I have a bunch of experiences. I can fill a whole evening of experiences of this kind that happened to me over the years. And it gives you faith. These are faith-making stories. They're faith-breaking stories. You know, like one is Prabhupada was poisoned. Now, I was there and I can tell you the whole story. It's immaculate. There's not one fault there. I can tell you in details, but because I followed it up right there. I talked to the doctor from Calcutta. I talked to Adida, who stayed with his doctor together. And a clear story emanates why what happened there. Because Prabhupada took the Makaradvaj. Doctor says you have to take Makaradvaj. And it has to be made by, I think, Abhiram got it from Delhi or from Mathura. And it was administered to him. The doctor investigated Prabhupada first. And then it ministered to him. And then I told Adida, Prabhupada thinks he's poisoned. I heard it. I think I've been poisoned. So we ran upstairs and the doctor said, impossible. He said, yesterday I examined him. It's okay. It's a Makaradvaj. Because in the Makaradvaj there is homeopathic quantities of arsenic acid. And it was overdone. So Prabhupada, that was the end of the story. In the following days, it was about a week, Prabhupada never talked about it anymore. It's very simple. Why did Prabhupada leave? I mean, on the physical platform, on the spiritual platform, Krishna wanted him to leave. And on the material platform, when he came to London, already he had to go to a doctor because he couldn't pass, you know. And they had to rush him to the hospital. It was very painful. There was some operation. And the Indian doctor says, Swamiji, you have to go on a machine, dialysis, 2 times a week. He said, I'm not going to have that. He said, you have to, because otherwise you will not live through the summer, through the winter. And Prabhupada didn't do it. And so when I touched his feet, I had to massage his feet sometimes. They were blown up like balloons because of water. If you die of kidney failure, the water rises from the toes all the way up, and when it hits the heart, you're finished. So it was a classical case of kidney failure, that's all. And it doesn't make sense to poison a man who's on his deathbed. What is the use of that? Every criminologist will tell you. There's no purpose in it. There's no motive, because he's dying anyway. You see, so there are so many stories I could tell about it. And Prabhupada was transcendental. You know, it was not the material platform that affected him so much. A doctor said, nobody of you would be able to stay the pain, take the pain that Prabhupada is suffering. Because he told one time to one of the people from his godbrothers, one godbrother came over, and Prabhupada said, you see how I'm suffering? He said, yes. I said, these are the sins of my disciples. You know, Prabhupada said that. I heard it. And so, if we follow, now I'm finished, if we follow Srila Prabhupada, we will flourish. We will flourish. One priest who talked to Srila Prabhupada in Germany, I visited him many times. He was a wonderful guy. He was chanting Jesus and Prabhupada liked it. And so he told me, Prithu Prabhu, I have observed the Hare Krishna movement now for 40 years. And I came to the conclusion that there's a lot of piety in the Hare Krishna movement. He said that therefore it will thrive, it will flourish. Therefore it will flourish, because of the piety. If you take Gopal Krishna Maharaj, I mean, he has been traveling tirelessly. You know, I mean, in this state, this is liver, you know. I met him, you know, in Chennai before the operation, and he asked me, we had a meeting, he said, Prithu, give me, what shall I do? I said, how can I tell you? So I need your opinion. He said, shall I do it or not? If I do have an operation, it's very risky. The doctor said, I may die. And if I don't have the operation, I will die. So what's your opinion? I said, you should have the operation. And so he did that, and he preached and preached and preached and preached. Large book distribution, extremely successful. Gopa Krishna Maharaj. I was GBC with him for about 15 years here in this temple, Co-GBC. And I tell you one thing, I've never seen a devotee working that hard. It is amazing. You know, he works all day. You know, he's a very hard worker, and the result is so many temples come up. I mean, he started more temples than anybody in ISKCON, right? Because he's a hard worker. You do your best and Krishna does the rest. This is how that works, you know? And another thing about Gopa Krishna Maharaj, if you work for him, he never lets you down. You know, like some devotees in Bombay, they work for him since 30 years. If there's some problem, Gopa Krishna Maharaj was always putting the hand over them. And said, don't remove them. They've done a lot of service. That's what I learned from him. It's true, isn't it? He's very faithful to people. I didn't have that fortune. You know, I was, you know, I lost my temple in Heidelberg, I lost my temple in Innisfruit Island, I lost my temple in Munich. These are thriving temples. There's so many devotees. Because the man on top didn't like it. He wanted to do it. And I could go into the details, but I won't. It will make you cry, what I experienced over the years. And then you have Niranjan Swami. I gave you the example of the festival, Love and Trust in Action, you know. Then you have Radhanath Swami. I mean, these are my heroes. Why? Have you ever visited Radhanath Swami's room? I did, because I'm friend with him. He lies on a straw mat. He lies on a straw mat. Small room, half the size of what I have. Small room. You know, and he's reading and chanting. You know, and he goes down and eats prasadam with us. You know, he never eats by himself. He asks all the god brothers to sit in line, and he sits there also in the beginning or middle or end. He didn't care. And so love and trust. That's why he's so successful. He has 7,000 people chanting Hare Krishna in the Goshala. Where do we have that in ISKCON, except in Russia? You know. So he is an example of somebody who has faith in Prabhupada. And there are so many like this, God brothers, you know, who have strong faith in Prabhupada, they thrive. And those who don't, they don't thrive. I met a devotee in Gainesville, and Prabhupada disciple, and I preached to him about Prabhupada. He said, what you do is not exactly what Prabhupada says. He said, where's your love? If you really love me, cooperate, Prabhupada said, you know. And he said, I actually love Srila Prabhupada, but I don't like what he's saying. What's the use of being a disciple if you love Prabhupada but you don't like what he's saying? It's, you become asara, useless. And so I gave you just a couple of devotees here. They're not asara. They are hanging on Prabhupada's lips, like Prabhupada hanged on the lips of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. To the T. I wouldn't be surprised if this formula, books are the basics, etc., would come from Bhaktisiddhanta. I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me at all. You know? And so I finished my little lecture. I think I'm a little late. There's still a lot to be said. But I think we leave it with that. Maybe one last thing. Prabhupada wrote, when he was in Boston, he walked under a bridge. Not in Boston, in Pittsburgh. It's a steel town. Steel is manufactured. And there was a bridge, and Prabhupada said, point his stick up there. And he said, you see, unalloyed steel. They have unalloyed steel, we have unalloyed devotees. And Pradyumna Swami, Pradyumna Prabhu said, Srila Prabhupada, people will not understand our message. And Prabhupada said, the people may not understand our message, but Krishna will be pleased, and that is our mission. You see the point? It's not important. And he goes on, he said that, he said, Jesus also, that's why I like this particularly, because he preached for so many, for only 3 years, and so many followers. We will say it to the moon, we will say it to the stars, we say it to everything, because Krishna is everywhere. He said, he's everywhere. That I want to have the certificate of Krishna, that this man has done something for me. Not popularity. Prabhupada was not interested in popularity. He said, cook the milk down. Why is it that Shankara preached Buddhism? You know, Prabhupada's answer is to protect the devotional service of the Vaishnavas. So everybody who is not up to scratch, he falls into this ditch. You know? So in the same way, Prabhupada's books are spiked by Krishna. There are so many statements that people cannot follow. And so they leave, because they're not serious enough to practice Krishna. It's Krishna's device. He was in charge, he was dictating, and the things are there that people don't want to, they want to remove certain things out of what Prabhupada said, which is foolish, because Prabhupada was not interested in public relations. He didn't want to have the whole world to join. He wanted to have people who are serious. One moon is more important than hundreds of stars, you know? And so that's why we have these books, for that reason. And if you have faith in Prabhupada, you will take that as it is. You may not be understanding something, I don't understand that. But you cannot criticize it, because he's an acharya. So I want to finish now, and I thank you so much for being tolerant. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram. Enjoyed?